Good afternoon, everybody. I'll ask that we stand for invocation and the pledge allegiance after. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless each and every one of us and our families here this day. We ask you to protect the men and women of our armed forces and many blessings given to those families of the Ukraine who are suffering this day. We ask you, Lord, to help us make the right decisions for the betterment of Savannah, Georgia, and Chatham County as we make decisions for planning of our city. We thank you for the weather we have. We ask you to protect each and every one of us, as you do always, in your name. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all. Thank you. I guess I should hit the gavel. This meeting's begun. All right, for May 3rd, 2022, regular meeting of the Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Commission. The agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, the consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with the staff recommendation and there are no known objections. This will be followed by regular business, old business, and adjournment. For each agenda item on regular business, the staff will make a presentation. The staff presentation will be followed by a presentation by the petitioner, should they elect to do so. The petitioner will be allotted a time frame of no more than 20 minutes. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner or staff for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will be open for public comment. If you wish to comment on the item that the board is considering at the time, please use raise your hand feature on your screen for those who are at home joining our meeting today. Do not use the feature until the item you want to comment on is being considered. At the appropriate time, you will be recognized and staff will unmute your microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by the chair, your microphone will be muted and the chair will recognize the next speaker. Total public comment time will be equivalent to the petitioner's presentation time. Therefore, it's important that you use the raise your hand feature on your computer during the hearing on that item if you want to speak on the petition. Once the floor is closed for public comment on a petition, no additional public speakers will be allowed. If you're not certain you want to speak, still use the raise your hand feature on your computer. You will have the option to decline when your name is called. After public comment, the petitioner will have the opportunity for rebuttal and then additionally the questions by the board. Finally, the board will take action. And thank you all for being here today. So we'll start with the approval of the agenda.
Cole's motion.
No, it's second.
We'll do a verbal vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone oppose? Next is notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. May 24, 2022, regular MPC meeting will be held here at 1:30 p.m. Next, we have items requested to be removed from the final agenda. I'll just read through all of them and we'll vote. Item number 3, special use approval request. 2110 West Gwinnett Street, rezoning request 5659 Ogeechee Road, rezoning request at 241 Broadwater Lane, rezoning map amendment Dillon Street, and rezoning map amendment item number 7, O Fort Argyle Road. Is there anybody here in the audience on these any one of these items? Okay. I need a verbal vote.
Cole's make the motion to remove items 3 through 7.
No, a second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone oppose? Okay. There are no items requested to be withdrawn. We now go to the consent agenda. Approval of the April 12th, 2022 briefing regular meeting minutes. Need a motion?
Coles make motion to approve.
Noah second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone oppose? Thank you. There's no old business, so we'll go straight to regular business. Item number 9, special use. 2805 Bull Street, a special use request for a bar and tavern.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Melissa Leto on PC staff.
Good afternoon to you.
This is the subject parcel, 2805 Bull Street, requesting approval of a special use permit within the TC1 zoning district. The special use request is for an existing building to operate as a bar tavern use. The applicant proposes to offer wine and beer options with a prepared light food menu. In addition, the applicant is proposing a packaged wine sale area within the interior space. Subject parcel is located on the west side of Bull Street, south of Victory Drive. The parcel is 4,356 square feet in lot area, and there is a one-story building that was built there. The most recent establishment at 2805 Bull Street was the Canine Palace, a retail store for dog food and accessories. And to note, on Thursday, February 10th, 2022, City Council approved a text amendment to include the building into the historic buildings map of Section 7.11, Streetcar Historic Overlay District, as well as the contributing resources map. The subject parcel is in the TC1 zoning district, where there is retail and office uses. To the south of the parcel, it is also TC1. To the rear of the property, 2805 Bull Street boundary lines abuts the railroad right-of-way. To the west of the parcel is a lumber company zoned light industrial and a SCAD parking garage facing Victory Drive zoned small-scale planned development. To the north is a restaurant, 520 Wings Street, Wings, located in the TC2 zoning district. And to the east is a residential single family with single family dwellings. And that is the Ardsley Park neighborhood. These are, to the left is a 1955 Sanborn map showing the subject unit along with two other units located within the building. To the right is a 2021 boundary survey indicating the rear woodshed connected to the building is encroaching into the railroad right-of-way, whereas the building was constructed within the boundary lines. These are the proposed drawings for the interior of the proposed wine bar and proposed facade changes. The petitioner submitted building permits to renovate the exterior building prior to the subject parcel being included in the expansion of the Streetcar Historic District boundary, as well as a contributing resource map. The Historic Preservation Office has reviewed the proposed changes to the exterior and considers the changes to be minor and acceptable. The future land use map designates the subject property as traditional commercial. Staff finds the special use request to be compatible with the future land use category, the character and scale, the location along a corridor that offers a range of retail, restaurants, bar taverns, office spaces, and residential uses. This is a section of a City of Savannah zoning verification letter regarding 2805 Bull Street on April 21st, 2022, suggesting parking requirements, stating that under Article 9, Section 9.37D, the subject is within the parking reduction. The property contains 2,595 square feet and floor area. The property shall not be required to provide vehicle parking spaces for the first 3,000 square feet of non-residential uses. And the amended historic district boundary map, which will be coming to MPC next month, will include this property, and thus it will be included in the parking reductions. Regarding trash, the applicant is proposing to utilize the city's 24 by 24 inch rolling trash bins. The applicant is proposing the location of the two trash bins within this cutout, which does not encroach into the boundary lines. However, if there is a need for additional trash, there is use here to add at least one to there. And they are also proposing to demolish the wood shed so that there will be no further encroachment into the railroad right away. They will just need to time their movement of the trash cans on front of Bull Street for trash pickup. That does not interfere with the railroad. There's a letter of neighborhood from the Neighborhood Association, plus over 17 letters of support. The applicant met with the Ardsley Park Chatham Crescent Neighborhood Association initially in August of 2021, then again on April 12th on a morning Neighborhood Association meeting, which resulted in a letter of support from them, as well as, again, I said, over 17 letters from residents. The applicant is proposing the following operational hours: Tuesday through Thursday, 4 to 10, Friday through Saturday, 12 till 11 p.m., Sunday, 12 p.m. to 8 p.m., with Monday being closed. Based upon the compatibility with the comprehensive plan and the ability to meet the criteria for the special use permit, staff recommends approval of the request with the following conditions. The special use permit shall be non-transferable. Any expansion, I should say, if we need to revise that based on the pre-meeting, I would say any use of the property such as expansion, equipment, or storage shall be located within the required shall not be located within the required railroad right-of-way. We can always make amendments to that. And then condition three, again, the hours of operation that the applicant has proposed and were approved through the Neighborhood Association. Thank you. The applicant and I are here to answer any questions.
Would the applicant like to come forward? Make a presentation, Mr. Yellen. You have 20 minutes if you need that much time.
Of Late Air, who look forward to opening their business. And so I do want to pull up the staff report. That's very quickly show some of the changes that have been made to the structure even prior to this user coming in. And I think part of what we want to express today is that the owners and operators, along with the landlords, are all trying to do good by the adjacent residences and good by the neighborhood. With the previous operations of Canine Palace, there was also a barber shop and I believe another location next door. All trash bins were stored on the street. They were there permanently, as far as I can tell. I live very close by, and the operators would simply put their trash there, never moving the bins. We are proposing to relocate the bins to the rear of the building, only wheeling them out as necessary, which we think is an improvement. Also, as some of you may care about, this billboard is no longer there. It has been demolished. It is gone. We no longer have that massive advertisement for Checkers right on the corner of Bull and Victory. We do agree with all of the staff recommendations for the hours of operation. Regarding the encroachment in the railroad right-of-way, I heard the conversations in the pre-meeting. Because we are now included within the Mid-City District, any alterations that we make to the building would require a COA, and we'd be back before Historic Preservation Commission if we expanded or added an accessory structure, or even if we added fencing. So I'm confident that that condition can be met, and that with any new change, we'd be going before the appropriate authorities for approval. And so we are happy to answer any questions the OM might have, but we do respectfully request approval of this item. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any questions for Mr. Yellen or staff by commissioners? Is there anybody online? Any commissioner online? No? Okay, that's easy enough. Is anybody in the audience wishes to speak on this item? Nope. Then I'll look for a motion.
Coles, make the motion to approve the special use permit for 2805 Bull Street.
Elder, second.
Who was second? Mr. Elder? Thank you. All right, we'll go to a vote. Is Laureen Bowles? Not here. Mr. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mrs. Elizabeth Epstein?
Yes.
Mr. Joseph Irvin?
Yes.
Ms. Karen Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Jay Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Wayne Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Jeff Notrika?
Yes.
Mr. Lee Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Dwayne Stevens?
Yes.
Dr. Malik Watkins? Not here. And Mr. Tom Woodwitty?
Yes.
And Mr. Welch? Yes. Motion passes. Good luck in your new venture.
Thank you.
Next, we go to item number 10, special use, 11 East 40th Street.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Nirav Gandhi here.
Sir.
Just a moment. So we have a special use request from an applicant here at 11 East 40th Street. Currently, this lot here is being used as a sort of a junk lot. I have a picture here of the street view. It's fenced in. It's not in great condition at the moment. But there are a bunch of cars sitting behind, as you can see from the aerial here. Just for reference, this is near the Starland Village project and also pretty close to Starland Yard just down the street. The proposal is for this to be used as a remote overflow parking lot for the Starland Village project with the upcoming residences there. There will be just 23 spots, so not a giant parking lot, but it is intended, again, just for overflow purposes. They're meeting their parking requirements in other areas around that development. Let's see here. One thing I do want to point out is that this is, of course, in the Streetcar Historic District. We confirmed that parking lot does not have any special requirements as far as historic preservation goes. However, if they do want to erect a fence or put up a sign, that will have to go through the HPC renewal process, most likely a staff review. Nothing else much to point out. This is a TC1 district intended for mixed use, which would, of course, include a parking lot. They are proposing to I spoke to the applicant last week, and they were proposing to put a gate on there. This would be intended for private use only, of course, by the residents of Starland Village or their guests. So this is not going to turn into like a public parking lot, $20 an hour thing. I think that's probably all of it. We're recommending approval. We don't have any special conditions on this. And again, this is just a special use request, not a rezoning or anything like that. The only comment I got from the public was a call last week from someone concerned about adding a new public commercial lot there. They left a message for me. I called and left a message telling them that this was a, you know, private lot, not going to be for public use, and I did not get a call back from them, so I hope they were satisfied.
Okay. Is the petitioner here?
Yes.
See, Mr. you like to come forward, sir, and add any comments? You have 20 minutes if need be.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'll try to take less than that. My name is Michael Roach. I'm a civil engineer with Thompson Hutton here representing the applicant. You know, with the existing lot being a, you know, currently a junkyard, definitely feel like this is an improvement over that use. You know, with also having a remote parking lot directly across the street, definitely feels like, you know, it's an appropriate use for this area. You know, we do intend to work with the city staff, specifically traffic and stormwater, on working through those regulations to make sure it meets all the city standards. But that's pretty much all I've got. If you guys have any questions, I'm definitely here to answer anything.
Any questions for staff or petitioner from commissioners? Okay, is there anybody in the audience who wishes to come forward? Thank you, sir. Nope. This is too easy. This is great. I heard that. Okay, then I'm going to look for a motion.
Call's motion to approve the special use for 11 East 40th Street.
Melder, second.
Thank you, sir. We'll go to a vote. Mr. Cedric Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Travis Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Elizabeth Epstein?
Yes.
Mr. Joseph Urban?
Yes.
Ms. Karen Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Jay Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Wayne Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Jeff Notrika?
Yes.
Mr. Lee Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Dwayne Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Tom Woodworthy?
Yes.
And Mr. Welch, yes. Motion passes.
Thank you
for cleaning up the lot. Next, we go to item 11, Amendment Master Plan, 705 South Bridge Boulevard. Mr. Watson, how are you today?
Good, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. And this item, next item, last item on regular business, is a request for an amended master plan. The petitioner is requesting this amendment for property formerly known as Tract K, or Waterford at Southbridge. This is located on the west side of Southbridge Boulevard, near the intersection with Woodland Creek Road. This property is within the PUDC zoning district, and the petitioner is also requesting some variances, which we'll talk about here as well. This is an aerial image of the subject property. Property is approximately 130 acres, it's approximately 188 acres in size, but only about 65 acres is uplands, as you can kind of see in this aerial photograph. This is Southbridge Boulevard here, and the subject property would be accessed from an existing easement that where a road would be created to access the upland area of the subject property. As it relates to the variances that are also part of this request, I want to say that these variances were approved during the 2006 approval of the existing master plan. Those variances included a 5-foot front yard setback variance from the 25-foot requirement, a 5-foot rear yard setback variance from the 25-foot requirement, a 10-foot right-of-way width variance for the proposed internal roads, and a variance to provide sidewalk only on one side of the primary entrance road. And we'll go into some more discussion about those particular variances. The petitioner is requesting that those variances be carried over to any amendment that may be made by this board. As I mentioned this in the pre-meeting, the site was a part of the Berwick Plantation Master Plan and is legally part of Berwick Plantation. The original allocation for dwelling units for the property we're looking at here today, back in 2004 when this was approved, was 440 residential units. And that included a mixture of single family and townhomes as well. The current approved master plan, which you see before you now, is the plan that was approved by this body in 2016. It includes 164 single family lots. All 164 of those lots are detached, single family. They range in size from approximately 7,000 square feet to a little over 10,000 square feet. Each of these are, as I mentioned, a detached single family. These 164 lots exist as a result of the amendment that was approved in 2006 that permitted 258 total lots. So there's been a number of iterations of this particular master plan over the years. So just to kind of lay out the time frame, I guess the original approval as a part of Berwick master plan was 2004. Then the subsequent approval, there was a subsequent approval in 2006. You're looking at the existing plan from 2016. And then we're going to talk about what the applicant is proposing. This is the proposed amended master plan that the applicant is proposing. It includes 112 townhome lots, which are primarily on the rear here, as you can see on this map. It also includes 179 single family detached lots for a total of 291 dwelling units. So the total net density is approximately 4.5 dwelling units per acre. And as I mentioned, the existing plan only provided for large lot, single family detached residences. The property is proposed to be accessed from Southbridge Boulevard, which is here, over through what would be a new access road to get to the primary part of the development. As you can see, there are a few single family lots along the access road, the proposed access road. And just for reference, Southbridge Boulevard, which this was proposed to connect to, is a 60-foot bi-directional right-of-way down here. Going back to the requested variances, the applicant requests that the variances that were previously approved be transferred over. The issue of the proposed front yard and rear yard setback variances, the intent at the time this was previously approved in terms of those variances was to be able to articulate, if you will, the residential structures on each lot so as to not have one necessarily regimented line of homes on each street, each of the internal streets that are within the primary part of the development. Staff and the MPC found at that time that was appropriate and approved that request. Also, as it relates to the sidewalk along the internal access road, the applicant proposed at that time and are requesting now that only one side of the street be required to provide sidewalk. That's not typical. We typically would require sidewalk on both sides. But in review of that request, there could be justification based on the few number of residential lots that are accessed by this road, as well as the decrease in overall impervious area that would be allowed if we only had sidewalk on one side of the road. A very valid point that was brought up by Mr. Coleman in the pre-meeting is that if the board does move to consider sidewalk only on one side of the road, it might be beneficial to increase the width of that sidewalk to allow it to serve as more of a multi-purpose path for both walkers and bikers, et cetera. And I've had that conversation with the applicant and they're amenable to that. We think there is a lot of benefit in decreasing the overall impervious area, especially immediately adjacent to wetlands. It's about 11,000 square feet that would be gone. That number will change if the sidewalk is widened somewhat, but it'll still be a significant decrease. So we think there's value in that. With that, the staff is recommending approval of the amended master plan, the associated variances as outlined in the staff report. The applicant is present here today and intends on making a presentation unless I can answer any questions at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Staff, if the petitioner would like to come forward and make your presentation, state your name for the record, please, and then we'll ask questions of both staff and you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, commissioners, staff. My name is Ben Simpson. I represent St. Burke, who is the development manager that's been engaged for this project. I'm co-presenting today with my colleague, Tyler Johnson, and thank you for the opportunity to present our amended master plan proposal to you today for what we call the Waterford community, also known as Tract K within Berwick Plantation. Our presentation today, we hope to take you through a few things. Firstly, to present our revised development vision and strategy for the site, introduce the landowner and the developer, familiarise you with the site and its key attributes, provide an overview of the technical and land planning investigations analysis completed to date, share with you our architectural vision for the housing and amenities that are proposed, and then discuss next steps and timing, and obviously answer any questions you might have. By way of introduction, as I mentioned, I represent St. Burke. We're the development manager for the project. We've been engaged by the landowner Millennio. St. Burke is a Atlanta-based asset management and property development firm. We have a number of assets across the southeast under management and development, and we've been engaged by Millennio since mid last year to work on all their projects. Millennio is a rapidly growing real estate development firm with a vision to become America's largest independent residential community developer. This is the first of the sites that they've acquired over the last 12 to 18 months, and they're very excited by the opportunity that the site presents. The current status is that it was acquired in December 2021. And since that time, there's been various site visits, due diligence investigations completed. We've engaged with the MPC to discuss our proposal and all of the zoning parameters. We have ensured, well, we believe we've ensured that it meets all of the code and zoning requirements. We have reviewed the Southbridge HOA architectural review guidelines and ensured that the proposal aligns with those guidelines and the character and intent of the guidelines and the existing community. We've held a meeting with the Southbridge HOA. We've had various conversations with them, representatives of the HOA, to share with them the proposal and invited comment from them. We've also engaged with the Chatham County Engineering Department to introduce the project and to introduce our consultant team. We've also engaged a local engineer called Maxwell Reddick out of Stockbridge. And we're in the process of engaging local contractors, obviously subject to approval, to commence the development later this year. And we're well advanced on our preliminary plat, which will be the next application that we'll look to submit, hopefully in the next 2 weeks.
State your name for the record, sir. Thank you.
Tyler Johnson, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, thank you for your time this afternoon. Now that you know who we are, we'll get into a little bit of context on this site. Mr. Lawson did a great job. We do have 188 acres, 65 of those being upland, zone PUDC, planned development, future land use, and the allowable density back when the original master plan was approved in 2014 is 6.8 dwelling units per acre. So that calculates to about 440 total dwelling units. Some quick context about the surrounding area. As it was mentioned, it's within Berwick Plantation, also neighbors the Southbridge community. This is up in the northwest corner here. It's one of the last remaining parcels that's undeveloped within the master plan from 2004. To its west, it's adjacent to I-95. In the northeast and southern boundaries are all bordered by wetlands and then additional residential use. We came out and visited the site first in late November of 2021, flew a drone, saw the site. The first thing we thought that it was very well suited for development. It's a beautiful site surrounded by wetlands, great views throughout. So we think that all of the residential units can take advantage of those views and be oriented either on a wetland or an internal lake or lagoon. The other great thing about the site is that it's within a 5-minute drive of high quality convenience and retail, 10-minute drive of all the major schools within the district, and a 25-minute drive within major employment areas within the Savannah area. We did just see these two previous approvals, one from 2006, the other from 2016. As it was mentioned, the first one was about 258 lots, just around 4 units per acre. That was pulled back in 2016. That land acre, the landowner at the time wanted to do something a little larger, more estate lots, as he saw the market was kind of leaning that way at the time. So he pulled back and took away the townhomes and went with 164 lots over 4 different lot types to have a density of about 2.5 acres or 2.5 dwelling units per acre. In December of 2021, St. Burke was engaged to run a number of density studies, plan concepts, new site plans for the site to see what was achievable on site, what we wanted to potentially do moving forward. We looked at the previous approvals, studied those, incorporated some new roadways, new layouts, over about 15 different concepts. And ultimately we came up with what is proposed here today. As you may notice, this is very similar to the 2006 plan. And the reason why is that that plan was simply very efficient. It allowed for the volume needed from a stormwater management standpoint. The roadways were efficient, so we did want to go back to that. We also readopted some similar lot types with the 50 and 60 foot wide lots and then reintroduced the townhomes. So as you can see here, we're at 212 townhomes, 104 50 foot wide lots, and 60 foot wide lots for a total of 291. That brings us to a density of about 4.5. So well under the 6.8 that's allowed for this site. Some buffers, the code requires a 25 foot buffer adjacent to any wetland. Our proposal that will be, as we move into more detailed drawings, we'll be proposing a 30 foot buffer along this wetland just to add more vegetation between the built development and the wetland itself. Another buffer that's required along I-95 is 50 foot. We are incorporating that. In addition to that, you've already got out on site about 200 feet of vegetated right of way with a large berm. There are mature pines throughout that whole corridor. So you're looking at about 250 feet of vegetative buffer that will be between those townhomes and the pavement of I-95. It was brought up, the sidewalks. We intend to have 2 sidewalks throughout the interior of the community, and we're asking for the variance approval of the single sidewalk on the entry road. We are happy to expand that from a typical 5 to 6 foot sidewalk up to an 8 or so foot sidewalk with an intended use of a multi-use path. We know there's a lot of nice pathways throughout Berwick and Southbridge, so we would love for that to tie into our community and the new residents here, as well as existing in the neighboring communities, be able to use that pathway. So we're happy to do that. Stormwater management. The graphic has 7 ponds. We know we'll be proposing at least 5 of those 7. Our engineer is working right now on his stormwater calculations. So we know the interior ponds will be there. There's potential for others just depending on the volume and runoff calcs and how those unfold. But he's already been in contact with the Chatham County engineers and is well aware of the current county regulations, and we plan to be in compliance with all of those regulations. Trip count. So we went ahead and worked with our engineer on some high level rough numbers based on ITE generation trip counts. And first, just a kind of a quick definition. Some of you may know, some may not. This is not new cars on the road. These are trips. So a quick example, let's take a family of 3, mom, dad, and a daughter in high school. Mom and dad leave for work in the morning. There's 2 trips and separate their cars. Daughter goes to high school, 3 trips. Dad might come home for lunch, then go back to work. There's 2 more trips, so you're at 5. All 3 come back, you're at 8. The average trip count for a single family dwelling unit is about 9. So you can see there how these add up on a very basic day that you can get to 8, if not more, trips. So just keep in mind, these are not that those trips are generated by 3 cars, not cars, just trips. So here in the center, we've run those numbers on our proposal of the single family lots and townhomes and come up with 2,300 trips, daily trips on weekday. As a comparison, the maximum allowed density, if you were to split that in a 50-50 manner of single family and townhomes, that would average about 3,300 trip counts per day at that 442 unit count. And as a example that's existing within the community just south of our site in Berwick, the Stonebridge neighborhood has 338 units, so slightly higher than what we're proposing today, but that generates 3,200 daily trip counts. A quick comparative analysis between the previous approved plans and what we're proposing today. We don't view this as anything drastic or new. We're coming in with much of the same products and as you saw, much of the same layout as well. As far as density goes, we have an allowable density of 6.8. The first one was about 4. 2016 plan drew back to 2.5, and now we're coming in around 4.5. So not much higher than the original master plan in 2006. Unit count, we had 258, then 164. I'm sorry, that's typo there, but that was 164. We're coming in and proposing 291 today. Lot size, their smallest was 32, 62. We're coming in with 24-foot townhomes, which is 6 foot wider than what's allowable by code in this zoning district. Largest proposed, they both had 95s on the very southern portion there. They elected to go with large estate lots there. We're coming in with 60s throughout. And then common open space. The two previous plans didn't really take this into account. That was something I failed to mention earlier. Our proposal, we are proposing the option here to take away 4 of those lots. So you would be at 287, but that would allow us for about 1.5, 2 acre amenity site there that could consist of a pool cabana, children's playground, pool, something of that nature for the community itself. So we see that, and we're also proposing some green corridors throughout and potential trail system within those corridors. So now I'll turn it back over to Ben to talk more.
Thanks, Tyler. The next 3 slides just give you a bit of an idea of the housing typologies and the architectural style that we're proposing for the community. As I mentioned at the start, we have gone through the ARC guidelines for the Southbridge HOA, and the style that we're proposing is in accordance with those guidelines. And I think the feedback, it's fair to say that the HOA were really happy with what we're proposing here, and we're well advanced in our discussions with some reputable local builders. These homes on the right-hand side, it's what you call a contemporary farmhouse style. It's quite popular here in Savannah and elsewhere in the US. These are actual homes, renderings of homes that are delivered by one of the key builders we're speaking to. We're proposing to continue that architectural style through the townhomes. You can see there on the left-hand side some townhomes which also comply with that sort of architectural style language. And then the amenity also would be consistent with that. And as Tyler mentioned, it's in a very highly visible location at the entry to the community. It will form a really great gateway entry to Waterford. In terms of next steps, obviously today we're here for hopefully an approval of the amended master plan. As I mentioned at the start, we're well advanced on our preliminary plat, and hopefully we will have it ready to submit either later this week or early next. And by early June, we should have our construction drawings completed, if not earlier, for submittal. We're targeting a construction commencement in later this year, hopefully in October. In summary, we are obviously recommending the approval of the amended master plan due to the following. Our plan does comply with the zoning requirements and is similar in nature to the previously approved master plans. The proposed development and housing will enhance the existing Berwick Plantation and the Southbridge communities. The amenities we are proposing and the housing itself will be aesthetically pleasing and will comply with the architectural requirements of the HOA. The developer and landowner is committed to engaging local key stakeholders and local consultants and contractors to deliver this community. And then finally, subject to receiving the amended master plan approval, we're ready to submit our next planning application and hopefully commence development before the end of the year. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Any questions for commissioners to petitioner or staff? Mr. Wayne Noah?
This can be for
state
either.
Your name for the record, okay, guys? Thank you.
Wayne Noah. This could be for staff or for the petitioner. The previously approved plan in 2016, how wide were the internal right-of-ways?
Mr. Noah, the plan that was approved, the current plan you're talking about, right?
That's in place right now.
Yeah, they were the 50 feet wide, the internal road right-of-way.
I guess my concern, it kind of got brought up in the pre-meeting, was the reduced right-of-ways and all of the townhomes in the back. Will there be off-street parking? Like, will there be driveways? I'm just concerned for the ease of access for large apparatus, fire apparatus.
And off-street parking will be required, but I'll let the applicant speak to how they intend to lay it out.
The density scares me in the back.
Yes, sir. Each townhome will have driveways, so there will be the off-street parking proposed in front of the townhomes, along with garages. So there will be additional parking in there as well. And these variances were with the both previous approvals, as we understand it, the 2006 and 2016. We're seeking to carry these over, one for that staggering, the 5-foot step back variance, so that you can have that staggering of homes. We've got some long stretches of road through here. So we see that as a benefit as you're driving, to not have this long plane of architecture, but you can have some more fun and creative visioning with the facades. So to do that, the 50-foot right-of-way is needed. Otherwise, if you have that 60, it eats into that where you could stagger within the lot. So we're just seeking to carry that over and take advantage of that on this site as well.
Ms. Jarrett.
Karen Jarrett here. I have a question for staff. On the overall density for the South Bridge development, where are we in that? I mean, are we in compliance with what the overall master plan agreed to?
Not we are
in a particular segment.
Just we are in compliance with the overall density for both Berwick and South Bridge. So as plans come in, individual developments, those individual developments have to meet the density, you know, based on those parcel areas. So, and I believe that this might be the last or nearly last undeveloped tract out here. So okay. I think we're getting close to being done.
Okay. And again, I wanted to, we talked about it in the pre-meeting, the fire department access is a huge problem for me. We have this very long spine road and 300 houses at the end of this spine road. If something happens on that spine road, if it gets flooded, or if there's a car accident there, or if there's a fire somewhere on the road where the fire department can't get back there, having one way in and one way out is a really scary thing. Have we made any provisions for fire department access? I guess I'm asking the developers that, or their engineers. Any emergency vehicle, yes.
Yeah, that was brought to our attention, and that's a good comment. We have thought about that and spoken about that with our engineer previously. I don't know if I mentioned or not when I was on the trip count page, but we've already started, we've engaged our engineer to run trip counts, but within that, we're going to have him look at emergency access as well. We have a permanent place to work through that wetland, but that varies throughout in varying widths. So I think there's a few ways we can get creative and have bump outs or different ways to allow emergency access in a wider fashion through there.
There won't be a way to get to the burn.
I'm sorry.
If there's a crash on the road, there won't be a way to get to the bump out to get around it. Unless it happens right at the bump out.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
So it's a huge concern, but we'll let that go for now. The other thing that I was concerned about is the level of service of that spine road with 2,500 cars daily. What is, do you have any idea what the level of service is? Your engineer here, could they tell me what the level of?
He is not, but that will be coming forth within the trip generation calculations as well.
Okay. The final question I have is, why isn't the development maintaining the road?
The access road?
Yes.
We will be maintaining that.
It will not be a public road?
Well.
You're going to make it a private road?
No, it will be public. I'm sorry. I misspoke.
Why? I won't be using that. I don't know very many people at all that will be using that road. It seems to me that the development could take it over without any problem and maintain it for the residents that use it.
We can definitely, sorry. Yeah. We'll consider that, but yeah, at this stage we haven't sort of worked through all of those issues, but.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Wayne Noah.
I have a follow-up. Will you please consider, in regards to her comment about the entry road, some traffic calming devices so that if there is a wreck, it's probably going to be at 15 mile an hour, not 40, and probably be able to be pulled off the road? I would appreciate that.
Any further questions? Okay. Is there anybody in the audience wish to speak on this project? Nobody on the computer? Okay. Mr. Coleman? No. Okay. Any further discussion? I'll look for a motion then.
Coles make the motion to approve the amended master plan for 705 Southbridge Boulevard to include a widening of the sidewalk on the main arterial road.
Coleman second.
Okay. Mr. Coleman, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mrs. Elizabeth Hutstein?
Yes.
Mr. Joseph Urban?
Yes.
Ms. Karen Jarrett?
No.
Mr. Jay Melder, excuse me.
Yes.
Mr. Wayne Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Jeff Notrika?
Yes.
Mr. Lee Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Dwayne Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Tom Woodwoody?
Yes.
And Mr. Welch, yes. Motion passes. I'll see you back here. Okay, there's no presentations. There's no other business. Thank you all for being here today in attendance. Wish you all a blessed week and a healthy week. This meeting's adjourned. Thank you.